The most important success habit you can develop is the habit of continuous goal setting. And the most important action you can take is to set and achieve one clear, challenging goal. When you set a goal and achieve something that's important to you, you move from the realm of positive thinking into the realm of positive knowing. Your job is to get yourself to the point where you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you can set and achieve any goal that you desire. From that point on, your future is unlimited and you become unstoppable. The thrill of achievement, the feeling of having overcome adversity and winning through in spite of the odds, releases endorphins in your brain and gives you a sense of pleasure and excitement that can come from no other source. The habit of continuous goal setting, of using all your mental powers, eventually becomes a positive addiction. You'll get to the point where you can hardly wait to get up and start your day, and you'll hate to go to bed at night. You'll become so positive and self-confident that your friends will hardly recognize you. The most difficult mental obstacle to overcome is inertia, the tendency to slip back into a comfort zone and to lose your forward momentum. That's why perhaps the best definition of character is the ability to carry through on a resolution after the mood in which the resolution was made is past. Anyone can set goals, and many people do. Probably half the population makes a series of resolutions every New Year's Eve. But that's not enough. It's the way the goals are set and the way plans are made to accomplish them that determines what happens afterwards. To maximize your goal-achieving ability, you need a systematic method. You need a proven process that you can use over and over with any goal in any situation to bring all the powers of your mind to bear in accomplishing anything you desire. The 12-step process that you're about to learn is perhaps the most powerful ever developed. It has been used by hundreds of thousands of men and women all over the world to revolutionize their lives. It's been used by corporations to reorganize internally so that they could go on to greater success and profitability. It is simple, as all true things are simple, but it is so astonishingly effective that it continues to amaze even the most skeptical people. The whole purpose of this process is to create within your mind the mental equivalent of what you wish to achieve in your external world. The law of mind says that your thoughts objectify themselves in reality. You become and you accomplish what you think about. And if you think about it with tremendous clarity and vividness, it can happen much faster than you can imagine. There's a direct relationship between how clearly you can see your goal as accomplished in your mind and how rapidly it appears in your life. This 12-step process takes you from fuzziness to absolute clarity and gives you a track to run on from where you are to wherever you want to go. Step one in setting and achieving goals is desire. This is the motivational force that enables you to overcome the fear and inertia that holds most people back. Probably the greatest obstacle to your success is fear of all kinds. Fear is the reason for the tendency to sell yourself short and to settle for far less than you're capable of. The law of emotion says that every decision you make is made on the basis of emotion, either one of fear or one of desire. It also says that a stronger emotion will overcome a weaker emotion. The law of concentration says that whatever you dwell upon grows. If you dwell upon your desires, if you think about them and write them out and plan around them continually, your desires grow in intensity. They eventually become so strong that they override and push aside your fears. Your burning desire for achievement is what enables you to overcome your natural inertia toward the path of least resistance. Desire is invariably personal. You can only want something for yourself, not because you feel someone else wants it for you. In setting your major definite purpose, you must be perfectly selfish. You must be absolutely clear about what it is that you want to be and have and do. If you could only achieve one great goal in life, what would it be? Why are you on this earth? What is your reason for existence? What kind of achievement would give you the greatest amount of happiness and satisfaction? The quality of emotion required for great success, and especially for the achievement of wealth, is burning desire. a powerful emotion that overcomes all obstacles in its path, like a flash flood. If you want it badly enough and long enough and hard enough, there's virtually nothing that can stop you from achieving it. Desire is the starting point. The second step in goal setting is belief. In order to activate your subconscious mind and, as you will learn in the next session, your superconscious capabilities, you must absolutely believe that it is possible for you to achieve your goal. You must have faith that you deserve the goal and that it will come to you on schedule when you're ready for it. Your faith and belief must deepen into an absolute conviction that the goal is achievable for you. Because belief is the catalyst that activates your mental powers, it's important that your goals be realistic and believable, especially at first. If your goal is to earn more money, set a goal to increase your income by 25 to 50% over the next 12 months. That's a goal that you can get your mind around. It's believable and can therefore be a source of motivation. If the goal is too far beyond anything you've accomplished, setting it too high actually makes it a demotivator. You become discouraged more easily and soon stop believing that it's possible for you. Completely unrealistic goals are a form of self-delusion, and you cannot delude yourself into goal attainment. It requires hard, practical, systematic effort, working in harmony with the principles we've been discussing here. If you want to lose weight, don't set a goal to lose 30 or 40 or 50 pounds. Instead, set a goal to lose 5 pounds over the next 30 to 60 days. And as you lose the first 5 pounds, set a new goal to lose another 5 pounds, and so on until you've achieved your ideal weight. A 5-pound weight loss is believable, whereas a 30 or 40 or 50-pound weight loss is so much that it's very hard for your conscious mind to accept it as possible. One of the kindest and most helpful things you can do for your children is to help them to set realistic and achievable goals. The most important thing for them is to develop the habit of setting and achieving goals, not necessarily the ability to set big goals. There's an old saying that if you save your pennies, the dollars will take care of themselves. If they develop the habit of setting and achieving small goals, they will eventually move on to medium-sized goals and then on to goals of any size. Before you can accomplish big goals, major efforts are necessary. Sometimes you will require weeks and months and years of hard work and preparation before you'll be ready to achieve big goals. In every field, you must pay your dues in advance. Unless you're extraordinarily brilliant or talented, you must be honest with yourself and accept that if the goal is worth achieving, it's worth working for patiently and persistently. Many people set goals that are far beyond their capacity to achieve, work at them for a little while, and then they quit. They become discouraged, and then they conclude that goal setting doesn't work, at least for them. The primary reason this happens is because they've tried to do too much too fast. Your main responsibility in goal setting with regard to the power of belief is to create and maintain a positive mental attitude by confidently expecting and believing that if you continue to do certain things in a certain way, you will eventually attract to yourself the people and the resources necessary to reach your goal right on schedule, right when you're ready for it. Step 3 in goal setting is to write it down. Goals that are not in writing are not goals at all. They're merely wishes or fantasies. A wish has been defined as a goal with no energy behind it, or a bullet with no powder in the cartridge, a blank. When you write a goal down on a piece of paper, however, you crystallize it. You make it something concrete and tangible. You make it something that you can pick up and look at and hold and touch and feel. You have taken it out of the air, and you have put it into a form that you can now do something with. One of the most powerful of all methods for programming a goal into your subconscious mind is to write it out clearly, vividly, in detail, exactly as you would like to see it in reality. Remember, decide what's right before you decide what's possible. Decide what you really want before you begin to worry about your limitations. Make the description of your goal ideal in every respect. Leave no detail out. Don't worry for the moment how the goal is going to be achieved. Your main job in the beginning is to be absolutely certain about exactly what it is that you desire and not to worry so much about the process of achieving it. Some years ago, in the middle of a recession, my wife and I had to sell our home to raise cash and pay our bills. We moved into a rented house temporarily and ended up living there for 2 years. During this time, we decided to get serious about our dream home. Even though we had little money, we subscribed to several magazines filled with pictures and descriptions of beautiful homes. About once a week, Barbara and I would sit down and page through these magazines, discussing the various features that we would like to see in our ideal home. We put all thought of cost, location, and down payment out of our minds temporarily. We eventually drew up a list of 42 features that we felt would constitute the perfect home for us and our family. We then put the list away, put our heads down, and continued to work. 3 years passed, and 1,000 things happened. After 2 years, we moved out of the rented house and into a home that we purchased. All kinds of unexpected and unpredictable events took place. And when the dust finally settled, we were in a beautiful 5,000-square-foot home in sunny San Diego, California. While we were unpacking our belongings, we found the list. The house that we had bought turned out to have 41 of the 42 features that we had written down 3 years before. The only thing it lacked was a built-in vacuum cleaner, which was, perhaps, the least important. And this is just one of 100 stories that I could tell you that flow from the very act of writing down your goals and then thinking about them all the time. The most important reason for writing down your goals, aside from clarifying them in your mind, is that the very act of writing them down intensifies your desire and deepens your belief that they are achievable. The primary reason that people don't write down their goals is that deep in their hearts they don't think that it will do any good. However, when you discipline yourself to write them down, you override your failure mechanism and you turn your success mechanism onto full power. Step 4 in goal achieving is to make a list of all the ways that you will benefit from achieving your goal. Just as goals are the fuel in the furnace of achievement, reasons why are the force that intensifies your desire and makes you unstoppable. Your motivation depends on your motives, your reasons for acting in the first place, and the more reasons you have, the more motivated you will be. There's a story about a young man who came to Socrates and asked him how he could gain wisdom. Socrates asked the young man to come with him, and they walked together into a nearby lake. When the water got to be about 4 feet deep, Socrates suddenly grabbed the young man and pushed his head under the water and held it there. The young man thought it was a joke at first and didn't resist. But as he was held under the water longer and longer, he became frantic. He struggled desperately to get free as his lungs burned for lack of oxygen. Finally, Socrates let him up, coughing and sputtering and gulping for air. Socrates then said, "When you desire wisdom with the same intensity that you desired to breathe, then nothing will stop you from getting it." One of your jobs is to keep your desire burning brightly by continually thinking of all the benefits, satisfactions, and pleasures that you will personally enjoy as a result of achieving your goal. Each person is turned on and excited and motivated by different things. For example, E.M. Forster, the famous author, once said, "I write to gain the respect of those I respect." Some people are excited by money and by the possibility of living in a big house and driving a beautiful car. Others are motivated by recognition and status and prestige, by the idea of earning the respect of others. Make a list of all the benefits, tangible and intangible, that you can possibly enjoy as a result of achieving your goal. You'll find that the longer the list, the more motivated and determined and unstoppable you will become. If you have one or two reasons for achieving a goal, you'll have a moderate level of motivation, but you'll be easily discouraged when the going gets rough, as it surely will. If you have 20 or 30 or 50 reasons for achieving a goal, you will become like an irresistible force of nature. Nothing will be able to discourage or dissuade you from keeping on until you accomplish what you've set your mind on. Step number 5 in goal setting and achieving is to analyze your position, your starting point. If you decide to lose weight, the very first thing you do is to weigh yourself. If you want to achieve a certain net worth, the first thing that you do is sit down and create a personal financial statement to find out how much you're worth today. Determining your starting point also gives you a baseline from which you can measure your progress. Again, I cannot emphasize too strongly that the more clear you are about where you're coming from and where you're going, the more likely it is that you will end up where you want to be. Step 6 in goal setting is to set a deadline. The rule is that you should set a deadline on all tangible, measurable goals, such as increases in income or net worth, or improvements in your health, such as weight loss or running a certain number of miles. At the same time, it's better not to set a deadline on intangible goals like the development of patience, kindness, compassion, self-discipline, or some other personality characteristic. When you set a deadline for a tangible goal, you program it into your mind and you activate your subconscious forcing system, which ensures that you accomplish your goal by that date at the latest, in most cases. When you set a deadline for the development of a personal quality like patience or tolerance or compassion, this same forcing system assures that that will be the day you first begin to actually demonstrate the quality you've chosen. Often people resist setting deadlines for fear they will not achieve their goals by the deadline. They do everything possible to avoid the feelings of discouragement that might occur. Now, what if you do set a goal and a deadline and you don't achieve it by the deadline? Simple. You set another deadline. It just means that you're not ready yet. You guessed wrong. And if you don't achieve it by your deadline, you set still another deadline until you finally do achieve it. My friend Don Hudson says, "There are no unrealistic goals, merely unrealistic deadlines." But in probably 80% of cases, if your goals are sufficiently realistic and your plans are sufficiently detailed and you work your plans faithfully, you will achieve your goal on or before your deadline. If your major definite purpose has a 2 or 3 or 5 year deadline, the next step is to break your goal down into 90-day sub-goals. Then break the 90-day sub-goals down into 30-day sub-goals. With your long-term goal as your organizing principle, you can more readily set realistic short-term and medium-term goals that enable you to keep on track with everything you do. Step number 7 in goal attainment is to make a list of all the obstacles that stand between you and the accomplishment of your goal. Wherever great success is possible, great obstacles exist. In fact, obstacles are the flip side of success and achievement. If there are no obstacles between you and your goal, it's probably not a goal at all, but merely an activity. When you've listed every single obstacle that you can think of, organize the list in order of importance. What is the biggest single obstacle that stands between you and your goal? I call this your rock. On the pathway to the accomplishment of anything worthwhile, there will be a series of obstacles, detours, and roadblocks. But almost invariably, there is one big rock or major obstacle that lies across the road and blocks your progress. It is this rock that you should focus your attention on removing before you get bogged down in dealing with smaller obstacles and problems. The obstacle or rock may be internal or external. If it's internal, it may be that you lack a particular skill or ability or attribute that's essential to achieving your goal. You must be very objective with yourself and ask yourself, is there anything about myself that I will have to change, or any ability that I will have to develop in order to achieve my goal? The obstacle may be external. You may find that you're in the wrong job, or with the wrong company, or in the wrong relationship, or even in the wrong industry. You may find that you need to start over, doing something else, somewhere else, if your goal is to be achieved. So, what is your rock? Step number 8 is to identify the additional information that you will need in order to achieve your goal. We live in an information-based society, and the most successful people in our economy are those who have more of the essential information that they require. Almost all mistakes that you make in your financial life and in your career will be the result of having insufficient or incorrect information. If you do not have the knowledge or information yourself, where can you get it? Is it a core skill or activity that you need to learn yourself through reading and study? Or can you hire someone else with this knowledge? Can you employ someone temporarily, such as a consultant or a specialist, with the knowledge you require? Who else has achieved success in your particular field, and could you go to him or her for advice? Make a list of all the information, talents, skills, abilities, and experience that you'll need, and then make a plan to acquire, buy, rent, or borrow this information or skill as quickly as you can. Determine exactly the most important information that you lack. Since 80% of the value of the information you need will be contained in 20% of the information available, the old 80-20 rule, what is the most important information or ability that you will require to achieve your goal? Step number 9 in goal achieving is to make a list of all the people whose help and cooperation you will require. This list may include your family, your boss, your customers, your bankers, your business partners, or sources of capital, and even your friends. In order to accomplish anything worthwhile, you'll need the help and cooperation of lots of people. Then take this list and organize it in order of priority. Whose help is the most important? Whose help or cooperation is the second most important? This brings us to the law of compensation. This law is a subset of the law of sowing and reaping. It simply says that for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, and that for everything that you put in, you're going to be compensated in kind. This law also says that people will only help you if they feel that they'll be compensated for their efforts in some way. A key question then for you to ask and answer is, what are you going to do for them to get them to help you? You must always tune in to each person's favorite radio station, WIIFM, What's in It for Me? Our social and business relations in America are based on the law of reciprocity. The law of reciprocity says that people will be willing to help you achieve your goals because you've demonstrated a willingness to help them to achieve their goals. The most successful men and women in our society in all fields are those who have systematically helped the greatest number of other people to advance. The law of compensation leads to the law of overcompensation, the habit of always doing more than you're paid for. Successful people are those who always exceed expectations, who always do more than is expected of them. The only part of the equation of compensation and reciprocity that you can control is the amount that you put into it. Because this is part of the law of sowing and reaping, if you take every opportunity that you can to help others, others will eventually give you all the help that you require. There are two other cosmic laws that are important when you are assessing the people, groups, and organizations whose cooperation you require. These are the law of service and the law of return. Again, these are subsets of the law of cause and effect of sowing and reaping. The law of service says that your rewards in life will always be equal to the value of your service to others. The law of return says that you will always get back in like measure what you put in. If you put in hard work and helpfulness and honesty, you will get back riches and rewards and the respect of other people. If you wish to increase the quantity and quality of your returns, your rewards, you need but to increase the quality and quantity of your service. This is so important that we'll go into it in depth in a later session. After a lifetime of research into success, Napoleon Hill concluded that the principle of organized effort, of the mastermind, working together in harmony with other people toward mutually agreed upon goals, is the basis for all great accomplishment. Your willingness and your ability to cooperate effectively with others to help them achieve their goals so that they'll help you to achieve yours is an indispensable part of your future success. Step number 10 is simply to make a plan. By writing out in detail what you want, when you want it, where you're starting from, and the obstacles you must overcome, the information you require, and the people whose help you need, you have all the ingredients of a superb master plan for the achievement of your goal or goals. A plan is merely a list of activities organized by time and priority. A list organized on the basis of time starts with the first thing that you have to do in order all the way through to the last thing that you need to do before your goal is achieved. Many activities can be worked on at the same time, whereas certain activities have to be done continuously from the beginning of the process through until the end. A plan organized by priority lists activities in their order of importance. What is the most important thing that you have to do? What is the second most important thing? Keep asking this question until you have listed every activity based on its value to the completed goal. Some years ago, the chairman of a conglomerate offered me a rare opportunity. He'd been approached by a Japanese automobile manufacturing company and offered the distributorship for their vehicles for a large geographical area. And he asked me if I would like to evaluate the vehicles with a view toward taking on the distributorship, setting up dealerships, and then importing and distributing the vehicles. Well, I recognized this as a chance for rapid advancement, and I immediately accepted. The problem was that I didn't have the slightest idea of where to start or what to do. I immediately went into the marketplace and did 2 solid months of research on the importation and distribution of Japanese automobiles. I visited every dealership selling similar cars. I asked everybody I could find for help and advice. And as it happened, one of the businessmen that I spoke to had been hired 4 years before by a large corporation to do a complete feasibility study on automobile importation from Japan. Nothing had come of his study, but he still had all his notes. I asked him if I could look through his research files. Among the materials that he showed me, I found a list of 45 steps. This list had been compiled based on years of experience and months of research on the 45 things that a person had to do in order to set up a dealership network and then import and distribute Japanese vehicles to that network. I got a copy of the list from him, and I began with number 1. I carried the list with me day and night. 3 months later, I had completed every item on the list, and the first vehicles rolled off the ship from Japan. We went on to sell $25 million worth of vehicles and earn millions of dollars in profits for the company because I had the list. This is just another example of how much you can accomplish starting from wherever you are if you have a good enough plan and a good enough list properly organized. Once you have a detailed plan of action, get started. Be prepared to accept that your plan will have defects and flaws in it. It will not be perfect the first time out. One of the characteristics of superior men and women is that they can accept feedback as valuable information and change their plans to fit reality as they find it. Keep working on your plan until you have all the bugs out. Each time you hit a roadblock or an obstacle, go back and review your plan and make the necessary corrections. Eventually, you'll have a plan that will work for you like a well-oiled machine. The more detailed and better organized your plans, the more likely you are to achieve your goals on schedule and exactly as you have defined them. Step number 11 in goal attainment is visualization. Create a clear mental picture of your goal as already achieved and replay this picture over and over again on the screen of your mind. Every time you visualize your goal, you increase your desire and intensify your belief that the goal is achievable for you. What you see is what you get. Your subconscious mind is activated by pictures, and all your goal setting and planning up to this moment has been to give you an absolutely clear picture to feed systematically and continuously into your subconscious mind like a series of commands that concentrates your mental powers and activates the law of attraction. Step number 12, the final step in achieving your goals, is to make the decision in advance that you will never, never give up. Back your goals and your plans with persistence and determination. Never consider the possibility of failure. Be like a bulldog. Get your teeth into your goal and hold on no matter what happens. As long as you refuse to quit, you will eventually be successful. Now that you have your goals and your plans and you've made the decision that nothing's going to stop you until you've achieved the success that you desire, begin to use what I call the CAT, the Continuous Action Technique. The Continuous Action Technique is what will ensure that you stay on track towards your goal. It's based on the physical principle of momentum. This principle says that a body in motion tends to remain in motion unless acted upon by an outside force. It also says that it takes several units of energy to get a body from a resting position to a state of forward motion, but then it only takes one unit of energy to keep it in motion at the same speed. This is also called the principle of inertia, and you can use it to your benefit or advantage. The principle of momentum also has mental and emotional and spiritual dimensions. It's the feeling of continuous motivation and excitement that you experience as you move progressively step by step toward the achievement of a worthy ideal or goal. Once you get started, the maintenance of momentum is critical to your success. Many people launch themselves toward a goal, and then they allow themselves to come to a halt. Once you've stopped, getting yourself going again is sometimes so difficult that it never happens. You maintain momentum by planning continuous action toward goal attainment. You define your goals in terms of the activities necessary to accomplish them. Then you discipline yourself to do something every day to move you toward the achievement of your major definite purpose. There's an old saying, nothing succeeds like success. You develop the success habit by achieving a win, even a small win, every single day. You begin every day by reviewing your goals and by committing yourself to doing something, anything, that moves you toward them. It may be something minor, and it may be something major. But in order to maintain momentum and to keep yourself positive and motivated, you must be continually taking actions consistent with what you hope to achieve. Use the continuous action technique every day until you become a perpetual motion goal-setting and goal-achieving human being. Make sure that each day is marked by an accomplishment of some kind, preferably first thing in the morning to get your day started right. Remember, fast tempo is essential to success. The more things you do and try, and the faster you do and try them, the more energy and enthusiasm you'll have, and the more you'll accomplish. Now here's an action exercise for you. Take your major definite purpose and go step by step through the goal-setting methodology I've just explained. If you don't have a major definite purpose, make it your major definite purpose to find your major definite purpose using the same methodology. Can you have more than one major definite purpose? Can you ride two bicycles at the same time? The answer is absolutely not. More than one major definite purpose is no major definite purpose. To complete this exercise, once you've worked out a complete, detailed plan of action for your major definite purpose, do the same for one goal in each of your goal areas, your physical, mental, material, family, community, and spiritual goal areas. Put yourself onto the high road to success through systematic goal setting and goal planning, and you will never look back. This course is designed to be a series of important lessons in sequence, with each one building on the one before. I've laid down the foundation material for the entire program in the first 8 sessions, 7 of which you've already listened to. By this time, you'll have become a far more thoughtful person than you were before. Your ability to use your mind in a constructive way will have increased dramatically. You've now learned how to apply certain mental laws to help you get more of what you want in life. You understand the role of your self-concept and how your inner attitudes of mind shape the outer aspects of your reality. You've now accepted full responsibility for the person you are and for everything you become. You now understand the importance of clear, specific goals, and you should have made a complete, detailed plan for what you want to do and have and become over the next 2 to 5 years. You have begun systematically and continuously programming your subconscious mind with your goals and aspirations so that they will appear more rapidly in your world. You're already becoming a more positive and optimistic person, and you're developing greater confidence in your ability to achieve your goals and objectives. Now you're ready to learn the secret of the ages. It has been lost and found and lost again throughout history. It is simply this. You have available to you a power and an intelligence which, when properly used, will enable you to solve any problem, overcome any obstacle, and achieve any goal that you sincerely desire long enough and hard enough. Many of the greatest thinkers who have ever lived have stood in awe before this power and have written about it, calling it many different names. Madame Blavatsky, the Russian theosophist, called it the secret doctrine. Poet and philosopher Ralph Waldo Emerson called it the oversoul. And he said, we lie in the lap of an immense intelligence that responds to our thought. Emerson compared this intelligence to an ocean and said that when we receive insights from it, we recognize them as coming from far beyond ourselves and our own limited minds. Napoleon Hill referred to this power as infinite intelligence, calling it the universal storehouse of knowledge and the source of all imagination and creativity. He claimed that the ability to access this intelligence was a central part of the great success enjoyed by the hundreds of wealthy men and women he studied. Dr. Carl Jung, the Swiss psychologist and psychoanalyst, called it the supraconscious mind, and he felt that it contained within it all the wisdom of the human race, past, present, and future. It's been called the universal subconscious mind, the collective unconscious, the universal mind, and many people refer to it as the God mind or the creative subconscious. I prefer simply to call it the superconscious mind. Whatever you choose to call it, there's almost no limit to what you can accomplish when you start tapping into it, using it, and letting it use you on a regular basis. The truth of the matter is that it would be very difficult to explain to you how the superconscious mind works if you weren't already familiar with it. But throughout your life, you've used the superconscious mind in a random and haphazard fashion many times. In fact, much of what you've already accomplished can be attributed to your accidental use of this power. My purpose in this session is to show you how to use it in a systematic way so as to dramatically increase the quality and quantity of the happiness and prosperity that is available to you. The superconscious mind is the source of all pure creativity, all truly classical art, classical music, and classical literature come from the superconscious. Emerson confessed that his essays seemed to write themselves. He would sit down at his desk and the words would simply pour through him and onto the paper. His essays still read as some of the most beautiful and inspiring writing in the English language. Mozart was composing music at a young age. He could actually see and hear the music in his mind and was able to write it down note perfect the first time. In the movie Amadeus, the court composer Salieri said of Mozart, he writes the most beautiful music in the world as though he were taking dictation. Beethoven, Bach, Brahms, and Stravinsky all access this mind when composing their greatest pieces of music. Whenever you hear a piece of music or see a work of art or read a piece of writing that seems timeless and that somehow touches something deep inside you, you're experiencing a superconscious creation. The superconscious mind is also responsible for technological inventions and breakthroughs. Edison regularly tapped his superconscious mind to find the solutions that led to his hundreds of successful inventions. Nikola Tesla, perhaps the greatest electrical genius of his age, was able to construct models of electric motors in his mind, disassemble them mentally, reassemble them, and repair them until they were perfect. He would then go into a workshop and build a totally new machine or motor that would work perfectly the very first time. The superconscious mind is also the source of all inspiration, all motivation, and the excitement that you feel when things are going really well for you. It's the source of hunches, of intuition, the still small voice within, and of flashes of insight. Whenever you've been wrestling with a problem and have suddenly experienced a great idea that turns out to be the perfect solution, you've been tapping into your superconscious mind. Every time you've had a burst of spontaneous creativity that's given you a new answer or a new insight into a challenge you were facing, your superconscious mind was working. When your superconscious mind computes on a problem or works on a goal, it has access to all the information stored in your subconscious mind, to every bit of information that you've ever taken in. It also has the ability to discriminate between valid and invalid information. Each person has stored in his or her subconscious memory bank an enormous amount of information that is simply not true. Some of it is important and some of it is unimportant. But in all cases, the superconscious mind uses only the information that you have stored that is true and accurate, and it therefore brings you answers and solutions that are perfectly appropriate to your situation. Sometimes you get an idea that seems inconsistent with what you think you know to be true. Then it will turn out that your knowledge was incomplete or based on false information. The seemingly contradictory idea or solution will turn out to be the correct one. The superconscious mind also has access to knowledge and information from outside and beyond your actual personal experience. This is because it actually lies outside the brain. It lies outside the conscious and subconscious mind of the individual. The Englishman Michael Faraday, who was not trained as a scientist, on one famous occasion awoke in the middle of the night to find his mind teeming with scientific formulations. He sat down and wrote several pages of mathematical formulas and scientific calculations that seemed to flow through him like a river of energy. Once he had finished writing, he fell back asleep, exhausted. When he later took his notes to one of the most learned scientists in England, it was determined that he had produced knowledge which had never before existed. The work of Michael Faraday laid the foundation for the development of the vacuum tube by Lee DeForest and for the entire electronic age in which we now live, and it came from the superconscious mind. It's as though we are surrounded by a universal mind that contains all the intelligence, ideas, and knowledge that has ever existed or that will ever exist. Often, different people in different parts of the world will come up with the same ideas at the same time. One of our seminar graduates had worked with a team at the Atomic Energy Research Council of Canada to develop what they called a gamma-ray backflash measuring device. It took them 2 years to perfect the device, but the key was an insight that he'd had while working on the project. Some months later, at an international symposium that included scientists from the Soviet Union, where everyone's research was shared, they found that a Soviet scientist had had exactly the same insight at almost exactly the same time, and it too was the one that led to the Soviets developing almost exactly the same device. Since both of these projects, before being shared publicly, were top secret, there was no way that the information could have been exchanged through any other medium except the superconscious mind. Once you begin using your superconscious capabilities in a systematic way, you will start to get ideas that seem to be outside your current knowledge and experience. You've probably had the experience of thinking of a good idea for a new product or service, dismissing it because it was in a field in which you had no experience, and then you see some other company come out with the same product or service a couple of years later and make a fortune. The difference between the person who had the idea and ignored it and the person who had the idea and ran with it was that the person who ran with the idea had a higher level of trust and confidence in himself and in his ability to turn the idea into reality. You often ignore your own ideas, assuming falsely that they couldn't be worth very much as the result of childhood conditioning. But as soon as you begin accepting your highly creative powers and your superconscious capabilities, you will be amazed at the kind of ideas that come to you, and this time you'll do something about them. Your superconscious mind functions on a non-conscious level 24 hours per day, 365 days per year. Once you've programmed a goal or a problem into your subconscious mind and then released it, it is transferred to your superconscious computer, and your superconscious goes to work on it. You can then go about your daily life with your conscious and subconscious energies focused on the work at hand, while your superconscious mind is busily computing and preparing to bring you the answer you need. Remember, the conscious mind identifies, analyzes, decides, and commands. The subconscious mind stores and retrieves information and obeys the commands of the conscious mind. The superconscious mind functions outside and beyond both of them, but is accessed through them. Your superconscious mind is capable of goal-oriented motivation. It is the source of the enthusiasm and the excitement that you feel when you begin setting goals and moving progressively toward their accomplishment. However, to generate this motivation, your superconscious requires clear, specific goals to which you are completely committed. It will then release ideas and energy for goal attainment. In fact, your superconscious mind is a source of free energy. This is the mental and physical energy that you tap into during periods of great excitement or intense desire or even extreme danger. When you're working towards something that's important to you, you often experience a boundless flow of energy that enables you to work day and night with very little sleep. Usually, this is called nervous energy, but of course, we all know that the nerves have no energy of their own. Have you ever had the experience of having to get up in the middle of the night because of an emergency to find yourself wide awake, alert, and functioning effectively, whereas just a short while before you were very tired and sound asleep? This is an example of tapping into the free energy of the superconscious. When you become fully attuned to your superconscious mind, you will find yourself with a continuous flow of health, energy, and strength that will enable you to produce more in a few hours than the average person produces in a week. You will enter regularly into that state of what is called flow. This is a state in which the world seems to slow down while your mind seems to speed up. And during this time, you have the capacity to produce enormous quantities of work almost effortlessly, and you have a wonderful sense of well-being. Your mind will sparkle with a steady stream of ideas that seem to be available to you exactly as you need them. Another characteristic of the superconscious mind is that it responds best to clear, authoritative commands or positive affirmations. Every time that you affirm a goal or a desire from your conscious mind to your subconscious mind, you activate your superconscious mind to release the ideas and energy that you need to bring your desire into reality. This is why decisiveness is such an important trait of successful men and women. You will find that when you stop vacillating and finally make a clear, unequivocal decision that you're going to do something no matter what the cost, everything suddenly starts to work in your favor. When you say things such as, "I like myself," or "I can do it," or "I weigh a certain number of pounds," or "I earn X number of dollars per year," you are doing the equivalent of throwing the master power switch on all your mental powers. And when you do, you'll continually amaze yourself and others. The primary reason that people do not achieve their potentials is because they are simply not serious, as I said before. By not serious, I mean that they simply refuse to make the decisions that they must make if their lives are going to change for the better. You'll be amazed at how much more effective you become when you make firm decisions and burn your mental bridges behind you. Cut off all thought of quitting or retreating or doing something else. Make the decision that you are going to do whatever it takes to achieve your goal and that nothing is going to stop you. At that point, even an average mind becomes an extraordinary tool of accomplishment. Your superconscious mind automatically and continuously solves every problem on the way to your goal, as long as your goal is clear. If your goal is to make a lot of money, and you're absolutely clear about the amount you wish to earn and to keep, you will eventually reach your goal. The history of the human race is written in the life stories of men and women who have set big, exciting goals for themselves and who have then persisted indomitably, sometimes for many years, and finally reached them. Peter Drucker, author of The Effective Executive, says, "Whenever you find something getting done anywhere, you'll find a monomaniac with a mission." Whenever you find great achievement, you find an individual who is absolutely clear about what he or she wants to do and who is willing to do whatever it takes for however long it takes. Your job is to keep your eye on the ball, to keep your mind on the goal. When you do, your superconscious mind will automatically and continuously solve each problem on the way to your goal. In the Bible it says, "Take no thought for the morrow. Sufficient unto the day are the cares thereof." In a way, what this means is that you can trust absolutely to this superconscious power to function for you when and as you require it, and not before. Your superconscious mind operates best in a mental climate of faith and acceptance, of confident expectation. The attitude of confidently expecting that your problems will be solved, your obstacles removed, and your goals achieved is the mental state that intensifies the rate of vibration of thought and causes your superconscious mind to function at its maximum. Although it's difficult to do initially, It's only when you're completely relaxed about the outcome of any situation that the situation seems to resolve itself, sometimes in the most unexpected way. The outcome, however, will always be everything that you could ask, and sometimes much more. The harder that you don't try, the more that you practice letting go, the more of this superconscious power is available to you. All great men and women have been people of faith. They have had the ability to trust themselves almost childlike to the goodness of the universe, with the simple faith that everything was unfolding as it should, at its own time. Most other people, however, are so impatient and demanding that their very irritation causes negative emotions that shut off the superconscious mind and make its powers unavailable to them. Another function of the superconscious mind is that it brings you the experiences you need to be successful. Because you can never permanently achieve anything on the outside that you are not fully prepared for on the inside, when you set a goal for yourself, you'll have to learn and grow and change to be ready to achieve it. Since we only really learn through experience, usually difficult and challenging experience, the superconscious mind will teach you the lessons that you need to learn so that when you finally arrive at your destination, it will almost seem like an anticlimax. You will, by then, have developed the mental equivalent of the corresponding outer reality that you desire. This is a very important point. If you achieve any level of accomplishment without having prepared for it mentally, you will not be able to hold on to it. If you make a lot of money unexpectedly and your self-concept is not equal to it, you will be subconsciously driven to engage in behaviors to get rid of the money. This is why they say, easy come, easy go. However, if you achieve your success slowly and gradually, growing as a person as you grow in productive capacity, when you finally reach the position in life that you desire, you'll be ready to keep it indefinitely. If you look back over your life, you will find that almost everything that you have accomplished was preceded by what appeared to be difficulties and disappointments and temporary failure. Often, you've had to ride an emotional roller coaster of fear and anxiety and worry. However, in retrospect, when you look back, you can see that every one of those apparently negative experiences was essential to your achieving your ultimate goal and to your getting to where you are today. Your superconscious mind sets up a series of hurdles or learning experiences that are meant to train you to be capable of winning through in the end. Your superconscious mind is also very patient. If you don't learn the lesson, whether it's in relationships, in business, with money, or with your health, your superconscious mind will send you back through the obstacle course and through the learning experiences over and over until you finally learn what you're meant to learn. Then, and only then, will you be allowed to proceed to the next step in your development. Napoleon Hill found that almost every single one of the wealthy men that he interviewed had achieved their great success one step beyond what appeared to be their greatest failure. It was when every outward indication suggested that it was time to quit and to give up that they were the very closest to breaking through to their goal. It's almost as though the superconscious mind gives you a final test just before you arrive at your destination. It's when you're going through your most difficult learning experiences that you must draw on your ability to control your mind and have faith that the difficulty you face is simply part of the process that will inevitably bring you through to your goal and to achieving what you really want in life. A characteristic of really successful men and women is that they never use the word failure. They look upon a temporary defeat or setback as simply another way of learning how to succeed. They seek within every obstacle or disappointment the seed of an equal or greater benefit. They learn from every experience. But most of all, they keep their minds calm, positive, and focused on the goal. So, keep your mind positive and your superconscious capabilities switched on. There's a phenomenon in human experience called synchronicity. Synchronicity occurs when two seemingly unrelated events occur at the same time, and coincidentally, both of these events help you to move toward one of your goals. For example, you could think about taking a vacation to Hawaii in the morning before you go to work, and later on that day, receive a special offer for a week in Hawaii at a cut-rate price. Or you might decide over the weekend that you need to be earning more money, and Monday your boss could offer you a promotion with greater responsibilities and higher pay. The only connecting link between these synchronous events is the meaning imposed upon the events by your mind and your goal. This is another form of superconscious activity. Another word that is often used to describe this kind of coincidence is serendipity. Serendipity is the activity of making happy discoveries. People who experience serendipity all seem to have one thing in common. They are all actively seeking something. They all seem to have very clear goals, and the remarkable things they find are all associated with something they want to accomplish. People are always telling me, after they started using their superconscious minds, "You won't believe what happened to me." I've heard this exclamation 1,000 times. "You won't believe what happened to me." Other people, even when it happens to them, will tend to dismiss these seemingly inexplicable coincidences by calling them luck, or by saying that they just happened by accident. The fact is, however, that we live in a universe that's governed by law. Nothing happens by chance. Everything happens as the result of definite laws and principles, even if we cannot clearly identify what they are at the time. Your superconscious mind operates best under 2 conditions. 1, when your conscious mind is concentrating 100% on the problem or goal, or 2, when your conscious mind is concentrating on something else altogether. You should try both methods on any problem. Here is a simple 5-step process to bring all the powers of your conscious mind to bear on a single problem. First, define the problem or goal clearly, preferably in writing. Second, gather as much information as you can. Read, research, ask questions, and actively seek for the answer that you need. 3, consciously try to solve the problem by reviewing all the information that you gathered. 4, if you still haven't been able to solve the problem consciously, turn it over to your superconscious mind. Simply release it confidently, the way you would release a helium balloon, and let it float away. Step 5 is to get your mind busy elsewhere. Take any problem that you're wrestling with right now and try this method on it. You may be amazed at the results. Your superconscious mind will bring you exactly the right answer for you at exactly the right time. When the answer comes, you must act on it immediately. It is time-dated material. If you get the urge to telephone someone or to say something or do something and it feels exactly right, act in faith and follow your instincts, because it will almost always turn out to be the right thing to do. If you're having a problem with another person and you get a clear idea of what you should do or say, even if it involves some confrontation or unpleasantness, follow your hunch and carry through with it. In my experience, the outcome will always be equal to or better than you could have expected. And this brings us to the most important law that we will discuss in this program. It's called the Law of Superconscious Activity. This law says that any thought, goal, plan, or idea held continuously in the conscious mind must be brought into reality by the superconscious mind, whether positive or negative. Any thought, plan, goal, or idea that you can hold continuously and confidently in your conscious mind can, must, and will eventually be brought into your reality by your superconscious mind, whether the goal is positive or negative. We've said over and over that you create your world by the quality and quantity and emotional intensity of the thoughts that you allow to dominate your thinking. If you keep your mind continuously on the things that you want and keep them off of the things that you fear, eventually your goals will materialize and become your reality. Like all the other laws, this law is neutral. It is no respecter of persons. It is the highest manifestation of the principle of cause and effect. If you use this power for good, then only good will come into your life. If you use this power negatively, it will bring you illness, unhappiness, and financial difficulties. The choice is always up to you. you are always free to choose the kind of world that you wish to live in. You become what you think about. A successful life is merely a series of successful days, hours, and minutes. Minutes where you think and talk about your goals and desires, about health and happiness and prosperity, and refuse to dwell on anything that you don't want to see materialize around you. There are a variety of ways to stimulate superconscious activity. The most predictable and dependable is simply to think about your goals all the time. This alone will keep your mind positive and will cause your superconscious energies to flow through you in the form of ideas and motivation toward their achievement. The most powerful way to stimulate your superconscious mind, other than thinking about your goals, is through the use of solitude. This is called going into the silence. When I read the biographies and autobiographies of great men and women, I find that almost invariably they begin to become great when they begin to take time to be alone with themselves. Solitude is a wonderful tonic that gives balance and clarity to thought. Solitude provides an opportunity for you to reflect on who you are and what's important to you. Most of all, solitude provides the mental medium of calmness and serenity that causes superconscious solutions to spring into your mind full-blown and complete in every detail. If you've never practiced solitude, the very best method is to just go and sit somewhere, perfectly silently, without moving, for an entire hour. This means that you do not drink coffee, take notes, smoke cigarettes, listen to music, or do anything else. You simply sit perfectly still for an entire hour. If you've never done this before, you'll find it to be excruciatingly difficult. For the first 25 to 30 minutes, you will have an irresistible urge to get up and to move around. But if you have the self-discipline and self-control to force yourself to sit without moving for 30 minutes, a remarkable thing will happen. In almost every case, you'll start to feel very calm and relaxed and at peace with yourself and the world. Your mind will slow down and relax, and you'll feel a flow of energy entering your body from all sides. You'll feel happy and at one with the world. You'll be glad that you've taken this time, and you will recognize it as a valuable investment in your inner development. Visualization of your ideal goal as if it were already realized is another way of triggering superconscious activity. Many people find that daydreaming or relaxing on a park bench triggers superconscious activity. Listening to classical music alone or in the company of people you enjoy will often cause wonderful ideas to spring into your mind. Perhaps one of the most enjoyable ways to turn on your superconscious powers is to go for a walk or to commune with nature in some way. For example, the sounds of the ocean on the seashore seem to have a powerful impact on the superconscious. And any form of deep relaxation or meditation is also very helpful in stimulating your superconscious mind. In our fast-paced day-to-day life, the great danger to the person who wishes to achieve his or her full potential is the tendency to dismiss these ideas because he or she is too busy. The fact is that one good superconscious insight or idea can save you months and even years of hard work. It is exactly when you are too busy to stop that you need to stop most urgently. A superconscious solution will come from one of three sources. The first and most frequent source is from intuition, the still, small voice within. Sometimes that inner voice will shout at you so loudly that you will know that this is exactly the right thing for you to do. The best advice that I could ever give you is to always trust your intuition. Never go against your intuition. Your intuition is your direct pipeline to the superconscious mind and to infinite intelligence. All men and women become great to the degree to which they listen to and trust their intuition. The second source of superconscious solutions is chance encounters with other people or information. Once you have a clear goal or a clear problem to solve on the way to your goal, you'll meet people unexpectedly who can help you. You'll come across books, magazines, and articles that contain exactly the information that you need. Start off each morning by saying, I believe something wonderful is going to happen to me today. If you go around believing that something wonderful is about to happen to you, you'll tend to meet people and come across information that will make your expectation a self-fulfilling prophecy. The third source of superconscious solutions is unpredictable events. Peter Drucker says that the primary sources of innovation in business are the unexpected success or the unexpected failure. It's often the completely unanticipated event that contains the superconscious solution that you are seeking. The unexpected event often appears to be a major setback or even a failure. Sir Alexander Fleming was conducting experiments at his laboratory in London when some mold flew onto his culture dishes and ruined the experiment. As he was about to throw away the culture medium and begin again, he noticed that the mold had killed the bacteria in the dishes. He began to study the mold very carefully, and the result was the discovery of penicillin, which won him a Nobel Prize in medicine and during World War II saved the lives of millions of men and women. Norman Vincent Peale says that whenever God wants to send you a gift, he wraps it up in a problem or a difficulty. The bigger the problem you have, the bigger the potential gift. The question that separates the winners and losers is simply this: how are you going to respond to this situation? The winning human being always looks into even the most difficult situation for whatever good it may contain. Now, how do you tell a superconscious solution as opposed to a solution that may come from the conscious or subconscious mind? A superconscious solution has three characteristics. First of all, when it comes, it is 100% complete and deals with every aspect of the problem. It is always within your resources and capabilities at the time. It is always simple and easy to implement. Second, it appears to be a blinding flash of the obvious. It seems to be so simple and so evident that you often have the aha or the eureka reaction. You wonder why you hadn't thought of it before. Of course, the reason you hadn't thought of it before was either because you weren't ready or because the timing was not right. The third way you can tell a superconscious solution is that it always comes accompanied by a burst of joy and energy, a feeling of elation that inspires you to want to take action immediately. You want to do something. If you get a superconscious solution in the middle of the night, you'll be unable to sleep until you get up and write it down or do something about it. There's the famous story of Archimedes taking a bath and suddenly having the superconscious solution that enabled him to determine the quantity of gold in the king's crown, and becoming so excited that he ran through the streets of Athens naked, shouting, "Eureka, Eureka," which means, "I have found it, I have found it." When your superconscious solution comes to you, even after a long period of mental and physical work, you will have that same feeling of excitement and joy and enthusiasm, and you'll be eager to rush out and put the solution into action. All the powers of the human mind combine together in this marvelous law that any thought, plan, goal, or idea held continuously in the conscious mind, whether positive or negative, must eventually be brought into reality by the superconscious mind. When you have clearly defined goals with detailed plans backed by an unshakably positive mental attitude and a calm, confident expectation of success, you will activate your superconscious mind into bringing you everything you could ever want in life. Now, here's an action exercise for you. Schedule 1 hour of solitude during which you will go somewhere and sit perfectly still for 60 minutes. Make an appointment with yourself for 1 hour. Discipline yourself to do this as soon as possible. During this period of silence, you will get ideas and insights that will suddenly propel you towards your goal, and which may save you a lot of time and money. Resolve to tune into and trust your superconscious mind continuously, listening for answers with an outlook of calm, positive expectancy. Your superconscious mind will then guide and direct you to do and say the right things in every situation, and you'll begin to move ahead rapidly in everything you do. Be sure that everything that you say and do is consistent with what you want and where you want to go. In no time at all, your life will start to take off and you'll be on the high road to success and happiness. Go for it, and good luck.